This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inshallah, we'll be reading from verse number 31 of Surah Qaf, which is on page number 704 of the Noble Quran Translation and page number 523 of the Sahih International Translation. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأزلفت الجنة للمتقين غير بعيد هذا ما توعدون لكل أواب حفيظ من خشي الرحمن بالغيب وجاء بقلب ادخلوها بسلام ذلك يوم الخلود لهم ما يشاءون فيها ولدينا مزيد وكم أهلكنا قبلهم من قرن هم أشد منهم بطشا فنقبوا في البلاد هل من محيص إن في ذلك لذكرى لمن كان له قلب أو ألقى السمع وهو شهيد ولقد خلقنا السماوات والأرض وما بينهما في ستة أيام وما مسنا من لغوب فاصبر على ما يقولون وسبح بحمد ربك قبل طلوع الشمس وقبل الغروب ومن الليل فسبحه وأدبار السجود واستمع يوم ينادي المناد من مكان قريب يوم يسمعون الصيحة بالحق ذلك يوم الخروج إنا نحن نحيي ونميت وإلينا المصير يوم تشقق الأرض عنهم سراعا ذلك حشر علينا يسير نحن أعلم بما يقولون وما أنت عليهم بجبار فذكر بالقرآن من يخاف وعيد بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household, all his companions. May Allah bless them all and bless every single one of us. My mothers and sisters, this is the last session we will be having before the month of Ramadan, this beautiful year. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us the acts of worship prior to Ramadan as well as those inside the month of Ramadan and to make us from those who can witness the month and really make the most of it. Ameen. My mothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing paradise and those people who will be achieving paradise. Who are they and what are the qualities of those who will get Jannah? It's important to listen attentively to the description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented himself. So these are the words of Allah. This is the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Jannah will be made near. It will be brought near to the muttaqeen. The muttaqeen are those who are conscious of Allah, those who are pious, those who create a barrier between them and the punishment of Allah, that is known as taqwa, those who fear Allah in a good way, and those who are hopeful in the mercy of Allah in the most brilliant and balanced way. So Allah says, for them, there will be paradise and it will be brought near. It will be made easy for them. It's going to literally come closer to them. أُزْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ And it will not be far. It's not going to be distant at all. It's not going to be difficult for them to achieve. It's not far off in two senses. One is, If you think of your lifespan, it's only 60 to 70 years. Thereafter, if you die, I die, inshallah, the amount of waiting that we have to do between now and Jannah will seem very little. If inshallah we are heading to Jannah, which we all hope we will be. So in that sense also, it's very near. Before you know it, life is over. So Allah says it's very near. It's going to come just now. Just now you're going to get paradise. Number two is, it's near in the sense that it's accessible, and also it will not be far off physically. On the day of judgment, those who will be granted paradise will be entering paradise very, very quickly. It's going to be something that's going to happen rapidly. Quick, quick. May Allah make it easy for us, and may He grant us the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is verse number 31. Verse number 32, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is the promise that has been made. This is what you were promised. هَذَا مَا تُوَعَدُونَ. So who was promised paradise? The muttaqoon, those who are conscious of Allah. Now Allah describes them, هَذَا مَا تُوَعَدُونَ لِكُلِّ أَوَّابٍ حَفِيظٍ. You need two qualities in order to earn paradise. Awwab and hafiz. So you need to be an awwab. Awwab is a person who often returns to Allah, who often repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who repents sincerely, who returns to Allah completely, all the time. So awwab is one who turns back to Allah. We all make sins, we all commit mistakes, we all falter, we are human beings. The winner is he or she who keeps on repenting to Allah. Day in, day out. You're asking Allah's forgiveness. You're asking Him to strengthen you. You're trying your best. If you fall again, you get up and you try your best again. If you fall again, you get up and you try your best again. And you ask Allah's forgiveness and you get up again and again and again. And that's how your entire life will continue. Obviously, the nature of the sin will begin to become lesser, in the sense that a person who's involved in major sin, as they repent to Allah, by the will of Allah, He will help them, if they are serious, to quit that over time or immediately, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the trial and of the individual, coupled with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, the nature of the sin becomes lesser, in the sense that majors are gone, and then we deal with the minors. There comes a stage when we start dealing with the minors genuinely, that even the minor sins begin to disappear or begin to become minimized. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to minimize even the minor sins and to eradicate completely the major sins. May He forgive us. So if you want Jannah, awwab, you need to be turning to Allah. Allah didn't say sinless people who never ever sinned, because all human beings sin. So don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. You've made mistakes. Now it's about time you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't know how long you're going to live for. Don't wait for Ramadan. Ramadan is coming inshallah very soon. But you don't have to wait for it, because you might not see it. You might not live until that day. So Allah says the second quality is hafiz. Who is a hafiz? Hafiz is the one who protects. The one who protects what? The one who preserves and protects the covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by obeying Him in all that He has ordered and worshipping none but Allah alone. He protects his Islamic monotheism. He worships Allah alone. She worships Allah alone. Which means you're not allowed to be a mushrik in any sense of the term shirk. So you're not allowed to associate partners with Allah in anything at all. And if you often repent to Allah and you protected yourself from associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guess what? You deserve Jannah, and it will be made easy, accessible, very near. Allah says you become from amongst the muttaqeen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from all forms of shirk and association of partners with Him. Ameen. So my mothers and sisters, look at how beautifully Allah has put it, and look at how He's given us hope, and look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so merciful, has actually told us that if you keep on turning to Me and you protect yourself in terms of the acts of worship, make sure they are rendered solely and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in conformance with what was taught by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah, you have good news. And then in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now He's describing the awwab and the hafiz, and He says, "Man khashiya ar-Rahman bil-ghayb." These are the people who feared the most gracious, the most merciful in the unseen, in ghayb, when no one was watching. And you know, you and I have never seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have not seen Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have not seen the angels. We have not seen so many issues of what is known as ghaib and the unseen. But we believe firmly. Allah says, those who believe firmly without even having seen, they are the ones who are known as those who are muttaqeen, those who are hafiz, those who protect the covenant unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also what is included in this term, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, man khashiya ar-rahmana bil ghayb, those who are conscious of Allah when no one is watching, no one at all. So in the darkness of the night, when nobody is watching, you're alone, and still you can obey Allah's instruction and abstain from prohibition, you deserve Jannah. You deserve paradise because you are conscious of Allah. The day when Allah will meet with you or with me and He tells us that you stayed away from X, Y, and Z when nobody was watching solely because of my pleasure, you deserve paradise. Subhanallah. May Allah make it easy for us to obey His instructions even when we are all alone, even when no one is watching. May Allah make it easy for us to abstain from sin even when it is so easily facilitated, even when it is so easily accessible. May Allah make us abstain. You know, the way people use their phones, the way they use the internet, the way they dress, the way they operate with the opposite sex, whatever it is. And we're just giving you a few examples. But subhanallah, this is the consciousness of Allah, bil ghayb, in the unseen, without anyone watching. You know that Allah is watching. So when no one else is watching and you know that Allah is watching and it still makes you be a better person, you deserve paradise. And something beautiful we notice in this verse, Allah says, man khashiya. It was easy for him to say Allah. Man khashiya Allah, whoever fears Allah, whoever is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you take a look, whoever feared Allah, yet he didn't use the term Allah. He says Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. So this is why we said moments ago, fear which is positive, fear which is full of hope. Subhanallah. It sounds contradictory, fear which is full of hope. But it's not contradictory, it's a balance of fear and hope. Such fear that it should not make you feel despondent. Such hope that it must not make you feel like you've got a green light to commit sin. Beautiful balance. This is Allah. So Allah says, whoever fears the most merciful. So you know that He's going to forgive your sins, but you're still worried. You still have this concern. That's quite normal. Allah says, whoever feared the most merciful in the unseen and came with a heart that was returning in repentance to Allah. وَجَاءَ بِقَلْبٍ مُنِيبٍ. My mothers and sisters, let's look into our hearts. Let's ask ourselves, this heart I have, will it come to Allah? Will we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while our hearts returned to Allah in repentance? It would only happen if you have a clean heart. Removal of jealousy, hatred, enmity, envy, all the bad qualities of the heart. You know, the love of this materialistic life to the degree that we believe that that's it. Happiness is determined by how much you have in terms of dollars and accessories and phones and perfumes and cars and dresses and colors and so many necklaces and beautiful beads and so on. If that's what your happiness is, guess what? You've lost focus completely. Completely. Allah says your heart must not be connected to accessories and material items of this life. Yes, you may want to enjoy them within limits on condition that they never make you lose focus upon the returning to your own maker one day. So Allah says, if your heart is often concerned about the day you're going to return to Allah, and it often says, oh Allah, forgive me, then you are a person who's considered munib. Your heart, qalbim munib. Allah didn't say the person is munib, but Allah says the heart is munib. So the heart is what turns back to Allah in repentance. May Allah grant us those hearts. It's not difficult. My mothers and sisters, it's a lifetime struggle, but it's so comforting because the movement that we make towards Allah is reassuring. It brings about peace. It brings about contentment. It brings about so much of happiness that we feel that Allah loves us. And there comes a time when we smile even though materially we don't have things. You know, for example, in this country that we live in, every day the electricity goes for hours on end. I don't know when last we had water in the taps. To be honest with you, most of us have borehole water and so many other different types of water. Subhanallah. And you and I know that we can still smile, we're still happy, we still say it's one of the best places on earth. Why? You've made a plan, that's the reason. So let's make a plan, inshallah, to get Jannah. How will we make that plan? Become friends with Allah. Imagine if you and Allah are friends. What do you expect? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala befriend us. You need to have a good heart. That's all he says. You need to have a good heart. But there is no point in sinning and keeping on sinning. And then you say, or you keep on sinning and then you say, but I've got a good heart. My heart is so good, so clean. So you go, you drink, you enjoy the, astaghfirullah, gambling, you know, clubbing, partying, nudity, pornography, whatever else. And you say, but my heart is clean. I've got a very clean heart. Don't judge me. Subhanallah. What type of a clean heart is that? You cannot use the term clean heart or Allah looks at the hearts in order to justify sin. No. But yes, out of weakness, if you've done something and you get out of it, then indeed, we would say definitely that no, this was a mistake that was made. But if that becomes a habit and a trait and you don't want to be told and you don't want anyone to remind you and you don't want to be told that one day you're going to die and you're going to return to Allah and you're going to leave everything behind and only your good deeds are going to come with you. If you don't want to hear all of that, then stop saying, don't judge me. Rather, you'd say, I don't believe in the hereafter. Astaghfirullah. But you know what? All those who don't believe in the hereafter, there comes a time when they are worried about what's going to happen in the hereafter. I remember meeting a man who told me that you guys are bad people because you believe that we are going to go to hell. And he was an atheist. So I told him, why are you so worried about hell when you don't even believe in hell? It shows that you're a believer. You actually believe that there's hell. You're feeling so worried that you might be going to hell that you're actually asking me and yet you're saying I don't believe in heaven and hell. What a confused person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such confusion. Ameen. So my mothers and sisters, it's so beautifully balanced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He allows us to enjoy when it comes to materialistic items to a certain extent. Subhanallah. Imagine if our religion was such that you weren't allowed to wear colors, you weren't allowed to wear any form of good things, you weren't allowed to have phones and necklaces and perfumes and whatnot and cars and luxuries and air condition and now in the winter, no heaters, no nothing. Imagine if that was the faith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us understand that He's really blessed us. He's blessed us in a million and one ways. Look at what Allah says. Whosoever feared Ar-Rahman, whosoever feared the most merciful. He was most merciful, but he was still feared. Feared in the sense that I hope that I'm not... You know when you're in love with someone, subhanAllah, your spouse, and there happens to be a word of negativity uttered by your spouse, although they love you to bits and pieces, but you start saying, I hope I didn't hurt you. I hope I didn't offend you. I hope this... Are you upset with me? And they're not upset with you at all. But that is out of love and concern. You do know that there is a solid relationship here, but you don't want to scratch it even in the least. Now with Allah is a much higher example. We have such a love for Allah, and Allah loves us in return as well. And Allah loves us, subhanAllah, in a unique way. Yet we are so fearful that we don't want to mess up that relationship. So this is also a type of fear. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Ameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will be told, these people who were just described now, udkhuluha bisalamin, dhalika yawmul khulud. Enter it, meaning paradise. Enter it in peace. This is the day of eternity. You're going to be dwelling in paradise forever and ever. Guess what? You don't die. 70 years old and you're still looking sweet 16. Subhanallah. That's just a worldly example. More like 700 years old and you're still looking like you're 30. Wow, mashallah. No need to dye your hair. Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. Amazing. Just the thought of it. Allah says, go in. That's yours. Paradise. Guess what? Forever and ever. Forever and ever. Eternity. Udkhuluha bisalam. Go in with peace. In one piece. You're so calm. You are content. You are so happy. Go and walk in. Today is the day of pride. To be honest with you, you can say, these are my deeds. Alhamdulillah, I've succeeded by the mercy of Allah. That's the day you can actually say, I've succeeded. You go into heaven, you have every reason to be happy. You have every reason to be so excited. And Allah says, today is the day of eternity. ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْخُلُودِ. This is the day of eternity. Then Allah says, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. Wow, wow, subhanAllah. What an amazing verse. They will have whatever they wish for therein. And with us is more. We have a little bit more to give them. So whatever you wish for on that day, and in Jannah, you will have. And this is where all the questions we have in this world regarding what we're going to get into in Jannah, will we get this, will we get that, just exclude everything. Because you cannot start thinking from now what you want there. You have to go there and then think and then get. So all you know is you're definitely going to get in paradise. Whatever you think for while you are in paradise, not while you're here right now. Subhanallah. I hope, and I have discussed this in the past, and I hope it makes sense, where people think that I don't want this and I don't want that in heaven, and I want this and I want that in heaven. When you get to heaven, you won't even remember what you said. To be honest with you, it will be so mind-boggling that what you see there is something absolutely out of this world. Literally out of the world, because it will be out of the world. You know, the gold and the silver and the platinum and the diamonds and whatever else you've seen in the world, it was all from the earth, from beneath the earth's surface. And when it came up, it was given form and shape and different temperature and pressure and so on, and it became jewelry and whatnot, and the scent of so many different perfumes they made from the leaves and the petals and the roses and the flowers and so on. Subhanallah, when you get to Jannah, there's going to be a fragrance that you've never ever dreamt of, smelt of, thought of. Nothing. Something absolutely mind-boggling. So stop thinking from now that I couldn't afford this Rodriguez perfume in the dunya, but inshallah I'll get mine in Jannah. Oh, shut up, man. Subhanallah. You're not going to get that in paradise. Trust me, it's not there. It's definitely not there. Because Allah says, what's in the dunya is not going to be there in the akhirah. The only thing are the people. And even the people, it's not them in these bodies that they have here. Something perfect, absolutely perfect, no matter what. And I have to repeat the issue of spouse, because it's a burning issue in the hearts of so many men and women. Yes, it's going to be your husband. He is the one there. And guess what? He will be absolutely perfect, totally perfect. Just imagine, blemishless, complete, color suiting your eyes. And it will change as you're thinking. Subhanallah. And he does as you want. How's that? Subhanallah. As you think. And everything will happen as and how you're thinking. Your food and your drink and whatever you want is there. But you have to think. You can't say, I want proper, you know, those who love scrambled eggs on a Sunday morning, mashallah. You can't say, I can't wait for what the scrambled eggs in Jannah are going to taste like, because there's not going to be scrambled eggs in Jannah. Because for that to be there, you need chickens first and then you need the eggs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. It's going to be awesome, beautiful, lovely, whatever you wish there. And Allah says, we've got more for you. What is the more? It's described in some of the narrations and some of the tafsir say, Allah's going to show you. Allah's going to show you, guess what? Himself. Subhanallah. I want to see who made me. I'm so amused and impressed by His creation. I was in the Maldives yesterday. And subhanallah, to be honest with you, it is one of the most amazing places on earth when it comes to the aerial view. It's much more beautiful than even when you're on the ground. It's so beautiful, you can't believe this is part of the world. And you cannot help but to think, I wonder what's in Jannah. This is only the dunya, man. Subhanallah. It's only the dunya. Imagine. So I want to see and meet the one who made all of this. Wow. The one who made me. You know, I think I'm a dude and a half, and I'm sure you all think you're little dudesses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Everyone thinks they it, isn't it? Meaning, I don't mean it in a bad way. But I mean, you're a person. Come on, your life rotates around you because it's your life, right? Subhanallah. And you think, mashallah, that's me. Who made you? Don't you want to see him? I want to. And I'm sure you do too. So Allah says, hang on, we've got that for you. But first you have to be awwab, you have to be hafid, you have to have a qalb munib, you have to be from amongst the muttaqeen, you have to keep on repenting to Allah, you have to avoid shirk, and you have to struggle through this life and keep on repenting and turning as you falter, and you get closer and closer to Allah. Then when you die, inshallah, we'll tell you, go into paradise, you go into paradise, you have whatever you want, and we have something that is over and above that. And then we will show you who we are. Allahu Akbar. Meaning Allah shows you who He is. May Allah grant us the sweetness of looking at Him. Ameen. Amazing. La ilaha illallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we've promised this. We've promised this to those with the heart that turns to Allah. The heart that often returns to Allah. Allah says, لَهُمَّ يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٍ. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now warning us. You know, after He's given us beautiful news and we're hearing about how nice it's going to be, then He says, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ هُمْ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ بَطْشًا. And how many a generation before them did we destroy who were greater than them in striking power and had explored throughout the lands? Is there any place of escape? Allah is saying, we destroyed generations before them. We destroyed those who were greater than them in might, in power, and they had more in terms of land. They had explored throughout the lands. Allah says, there is no escape. You cannot escape. Not at all. Hal min mahis? Is there any place of escape? Then Allah says, "Inna fi dhalika la dhikra liman kana lahu qalb." Why did Allah remind us of the people who died before us, the people who were destroyed before us, the generations who lived before us, those who were more powerful, those who had more in terms of wealth and might and control on land? Why did Allah tell us that? Where are they? They're gone. Can they escape? No. The reason He said it is mentioned in the next verse. Allah says, indeed, in that is a reminder for whoever has a heart. Look at how beautifully it's put. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. Indeed, in that is a reminder for those who have a heart. If you have a heart, then all this will touch you. If you don't have a heart, heartless person, we can say what we want, we can describe the goodness of Jannah and warn you regarding the previous nations, and still it won't even change you, move you, nothing will happen. But if you have a heart, Allah says, it will touch you. This will act as a reminder, but it's only a reminder for those who have a heart. So ask yourself, do I become a better person when I hear these things? Am I affected by these verses? Am I affected by the reminder that Allah has placed? Do I look forward to paradise? Do I look forward to meeting with Allah? Do I repent often? If all these are answers in the positive, then it means you have a heart. And if they're answers in the negative, it means you do not have a heart. So Allah says, because these are a reminder for those who have a heart. Inna fi dhalika la dhikra liman kana lahu qalb. And what else? Aw alqa as-sam'a wa huwa shahid. A reminder for those, for whoever has a heart or who listens while he is present in mind. Some people just listen to you and they're not really listening to you. It's just like, by the way. You know, like typically everyone's on their phone. You know, when you catch public transport in some of the countries, and it happens, I'm sure it must be happening here as well. And everyone's on their phone, even while they're walking, and they're smiling and laughing at their phones. The whole dunya's on their phone. And when you happen to talk to them, they're just like nodding. Even dad, when he comes back from work, he's on his phone and he's just nodding. You remember the example I gave the once? I said, oh dad, how was your day? Yeah, okay, nice. Oh yeah. And then you say, so dad, is everything okay? Yeah. So dad, do you want to eat? Yeah. So he's not listening to what you have to say. He's just saying, yeah. So try it out. Dad, are you an idiot? Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. That means a person who's not really listening, their mind is not there. They're just pretending to listen. Wallahi, we do that with the Quran. Do you know that? We listen to it without listening to it. Meaning we've heard it, we haven't really listened thoroughly. We haven't lent it an ear. We haven't understood it, we don't even want to understand it sometimes. But look, today we're sitting here doing what? Translating the beautiful words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amazing, impressive, so mind-boggling, life-changing. These are the verses of Allah. Allah Himself is telling you, you need a heart. If you want to be affected and impacted by the words of your own Maker, firstly, you need a heart. And secondly, you need to be a person who's present, who listens, and they are present, attentive. Alqa as-sam'a wa huwa shahid. They are lending an ear while they are actually attentive, listening carefully. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere in the Quran, وإذا قرئ القرآن فاستمعوا له وأنصتوا لعلكم ترحمون.
Whenever the Quran is being read, then listen attentively and remain silent. Try and understand, digest, put it in order that you may achieve rahmah. You may be achieving the mercy of Allah. If you don't, you're not going to get the mercy of Allah. You just listen to the Quran as though it's just a melody and that's it. Yes, it does have a beautiful melody, melodious recitation. MashaAllah, you will benefit from it. But that's not the only thing when it comes to the Quran. Listen carefully. Try and understand. Pick up the words. My sisters, no matter what language you speak, if you start learning the Quran bit by bit, there will be words that you will pick up as the reciter is reciting. And you're going to say, I know what this means. I know what that means. I know what that means. And there will be more and more as the days pass. This should be a feeling of goodness within you to say, I'm getting closer to Allah. Alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after telling us who this will serve as a reminder for, you know what he says?
وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ.
Before I get to this, there were people who used to say that Allah got tired after creating the heavens and the earth. He created it in 6 days, and the seventh day was a day of rest. And this is why you find some of the Christians say the seventh day is a day of rest. So you're not allowed to work on the day. Some of the people of the book, the people of other faiths say the same. And in Islam, we believe that Allah created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. He did not get tired. He did not need a rest. And he did not rest on the seventh day. And this is the response. Allah says, verse number 38, Surat Qaf, Allah says, and we did certainly create the heavens and the earth and what is between them in 6 days, and there touched us no weariness. We did not become tired at all. Now someone says, what does we mean? Why does Allah refer to himself as we? Two things we need to know. One is, many languages, for respect, you use plural instead of singular. You know, in the Shona language, in the Indian languages, in so many other languages, even in the Arabic language. So when you want to address someone, instead of saying you in singular, you say you in plural. The problem is the English language doesn't have that. So you got to say you and you, and yet you don't know. So it's just like that. And this is why some people say it's a very disrespectful language. I believe that it all depends on how you use it. But the other languages are much more grounded by culture, and they have in them a means of addressing a singular person who's extremely important. When you talk to your father, you know, it is not tu, it is not you, but it is rather addressing him in plural, not because you've got three or four fathers, no ways, you just got one. But that's how it is. Your mother, the same rule applies. Maybe a ruler, a king, whoever else it is, the same rule applies. Someone respectable, older than you, you deal with them, you speak to them in the plural. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses or calls himself we. It is known as the royal we. When you have the queen speaking in England, she also addresses herself as we. She doesn't say, I did this and I did that. We commanded, we instructed. That doesn't make them two queens. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we did not get tired. So be patient, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, over what they say. Now look at these things. The people insulted Allah by saying Allah got tired. So Allah is saying, we didn't get tired. Point is clarified, let's move on. You, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will be saying things about you as well. Don't let it bother you. Don't let it bother you. Look at the connection. Allah is saying, you saying they said things about you, they're calling you a magician, a madman, a womanizer, a person after money, whatever. These are the same things they call all those who call towards religion. Anyone who calls towards Allah will be called a madman, a womanizer, a person after money, a person after power, a person this. The same things will carry on all the way. They even call them magicians. They say this person did magic, because why are people listening and why are people... All this is the word of Allah. Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you think that they are telling you these things, they've actually told me as well something very blasphemous. What was it? They said, I got tired. Astaghfirullah. Allah says, we didn't get tired. Clarified the point. Now let's move on. They can keep on believing what they want. We actually continuing. Imagine if he was a madman, a womanizer, person after power, person after money. How come he's got the largest following ever? Subhanallah. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, So be patient, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, over what they say. And exalt Allah with praise. Continue declaring the praise of Allah. Subhanallah. Sabbih bihamdi rabbik. And exalt Allah with praise of your Lord. Exalt with praise of your own Lord, of your Lord. Obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before the rising of the sun and before its setting. Fajr and Asr. Beautiful moments. Praise Allah. Find yourself in prayer. Find yourself declaring the praise of Allah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah al-azim. We declare the praise of Allah. We're exalting Allah. Glorifying Allah. Morning and evening. Morning and evening. Amazing. Allah says, if you look at this verse, it's something unique. Allah is saying, people will continue talking bad about you. It was never between you and them. It's between you and Allah. So don't lose focus. Keep on doing good and keep on praising Allah, because the day you die, it's the praise of Allah and the worship of Allah that will come to your rescue. Not how you retaliated people who tried to harm you or who tried to perhaps speak ill about you. You cannot block the mouths of the people, but you can use your mouth to do something good. Did you hear that? You can never block the mouths of the people, but your mouth, you can use it to declare the praise of Allah. You can use it to come closer to Allah. And Allah knows. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has joined all these verses together. And He has told us quite clearly that, you know what? Don't waste your time with people who are talking bad about you. Bad mouthing. Because in order to retaliate, you may have to bad mouth them. And you don't want that to happen. So rather, use a good mouth to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find the beautiful fragrance of musk from your mouth that will be felt, or should I say smelt, even by the angels and so on. Obviously there's a feeling. Good words have a good effect, a very good effect. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us praise Him morning, afternoon, evening and night. Ameen. What beautiful advice. It's for all of us. The advice is for every single one of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَسَبِّحُ وَأَدْبَارَ السُّجُودِ. And also, in a part of the night, exalt Him. And after prostration, after prayer, exalt Allah. You know, when we complete prayer, what do we say? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, Allahumma anta as-salam, wa minka as-salam. So many beautiful prayers. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrik wa shukrik wa husni ibadati. What powerful prayers there are, or supplications, or remembrance of Allah rather, immediately after the farad prayers as well. And Allah is telling us, spend a part of your night in prayer. Salatul Isha, Salatul Fajr, these are in the night. And there is scope for voluntary prayers such as Tahajjud and various other voluntary acts of worship at night. Don't let the night only be for your cozy bed, especially in these very, very cold nights of winter here in this part of the world now. No, it shouldn't only be for your cozy bed. Get up. One of the descriptions of the people of Jannah, those who are conscious of Allah, in Surah Sajda, Allah says, "Tachajafa junubuhum anil madaja." You know, their sides forsake their beddings in order to praise Allah, to fulfill their prayers and so on. So don't only let it be the farad. Add something extra, the sunnah, the nafil. Take your time, praise Allah, declare, you know. When you're in love with someone, you want to spend maximum time with them. Well, prove that you're in love with Allah by spending a little bit more time with them. My mothers and sisters, we're coming into the mode of Taraweeh very soon. Don't just read Alif and Ba in your Taraweeh. What I mean is, don't just read short things, you know. I promise you, if it was allowed to read Alif and Ba, a lot of people would just say Allahu Akbar, Alif, Ba, Ta, and they would go down. Just as well it isn't. May Allah forgive us. I remember kids, I actually saw someone do that. Little kids, shame they don't know. How. The adults must be so envious to say we wish we could do that. But you read your Taraweeh, take your time. Don't become hurt. Don't become tired to say, I can't do this, no way. Take your time. Fall in love with Allah all over again, subhanallah. Spend time with Him, much more time. Say, look, you know what, this Ramadan, I'm going to spend time with my Maker. Seclusion. I don't want to waste time with too many other people. Stop gossip, stop backbiting, turn off your phone, WhatsApp cancel for the whole month of Ramadan. Everything gone, Snapchat is no longer Snapchat, it's now Quran chat, and that's it. I see we were not too impressed. Anyway, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. We've become so attached to these things that without them, for a minute, we're already dead. Trust me. If you don't have internet for 1 minute, the world comes on its feet, right? Subhanallah. May Allah forgive us, really. I wouldn't be surprised if some of us are busy chatting while listening to this talk as well. Allahu Akbar, sorry I caught you live there. So my mothers and sisters, look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. He says, these are the times you should exalt Allah. Morning before the sun rises, before the sun sets, a part of the night, and after your prostration. And listen, on the day when the caller will call out from a place that is near, يَوْمَ يُنَادِي الْمُنَادِ مِنْ مَكَانٍ قَرِيبٍ. The caller will call out from a place that is near, the day they will hear the blasts of the horn in truth. That's the end of the world. Allah saying, it's very, very near and close. When you hear that blast, it will be so, so real. It will be the description that Allah has given you. Allah says, the day they will hear the blast of the horn in truth, that is the day of emergence from the graves. So the horn will be blown, everything comes to an end. The horn is blown again, everything is resurrected. Allah says, you will emerge from your graves. Imagine. Thinking of it seems quite spooky, doesn't it? Emergence from the graves. Everyone comes up again. Wow. Slowly but surely getting up. Wow. From the graves. For what? In order to answer to Allah what you did in the world. What did you do? So Allah says, indeed, it is we who give life and cause death. And to us is the destination. You're going to return to us. So ask yourself, this is a powerful verse because you need to ask yourself, and I'm serious about this. Where did you come from? Where did you come from? If you are 10 years old, 20 years old, ask yourself 6 months before that, or let's say 1 year before that, where were you? 1 year before you were born, where were you? I want the answer. Subhanallah. Well, guess what? You're going back exactly where you came from. To Allah. You came from Allah, you're going back to Allah. You came from a maker, you're going back to the maker. So this is what Allah is saying. Look, verse number 43. It's no joke, it's a reality. Allah says, it is we who give life and cause death, and it is to us that you will return. The destination is back to us. So where are you going? You're just going round in a circle, that's it. You were born, you lived in the world, you went back, and you've gone back to Allah. It was just a chance you had to come into the world, prove yourself and leave. That's all. This is why we firmly believe that we are in this world to be tested. Nothing is going to happen according to our desires. We're going to be tested left, right and center. Subhanallah. And then Allah says, on the day the earth breaks away from them and they emerge rapidly, that is the gathering, very easy for us. Allah says, we made you in the first place from nothing. You think to resurrect you is going to be difficult. When we made you from nothing. When we resurrect you, we've actually got pieces to bring together. It's much easier. This is a reminder for me and you to say that we're going to go back to Allah. He's going to resurrect us, definitely. May Allah forgive our shortcomings. May Allah make us from amongst those who turn to Him. You know when you have your energy, you're bubbling, bursting, good health, everything is moving nice, then we feel like sinning sometimes because we want to enjoy beyond the limit that Allah has placed for us. May Allah forgive us. The minute you become old, you have a problem, you have some form of sickness, you're diagnosed with something, you have a disaster, guess what? It makes you a much, much better person when it comes to relationship with Allah. So sometimes as a mercy of Allah, He says, we're going to test you. And that's why the hadith says, when Allah loves you, He tests you. Because when He tests you, guess what? You get far closer to Him than you ever were during your days of ease. But the winner is he or she who's very close to Allah even whilst they are in days of ease. Amazing verses. Amazing verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So apt, so correct, so accurate. Look at the last verse of this beautiful surah. Allah says, we are most knowing of what they say. We know best. نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. Whether it is the kuffar of Quraysh at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or anyone else, Allah says, we know, we are the most knowing of what they say. And you are not over them a tyrant. Meaning you don't force people into belief or submission. مَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِجَبَّرْ. We know what the people are doing. We know what they are saying. We know everything about them. You are not allowed to force people into submission. Let them submit on their own, because their account is with Allah. So you continue to remind, you continue to guide, you continue to show the path. Whether or not they will walk on the path is between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you will continue to remind. And this is why we are here today as well. We continue to remind one another, and the reminder in our case serves for the speaker just as much as it does for everybody else. It's a reminder. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are most knowing of what they say, and you are not over them anyone to force them into submission. But remind by the Quran whoever fears my threat, whoever fears my warning rather. So who is going to consider the Quran as a reminder? Those who fear Allah and those who are concerned. The warning of Allah is the truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. May He grant us a beautiful entry into the month of Ramadan. I hope and I pray this session, the last session before the month of Ramadan, has actually softened us. And I hope we look forward to Jannah, and we are protecting ourselves from Jahannam, and we become people who can make resolutions here and now. Oh Allah, the sin, the bad, the evil, I'm quitting it, I'm cutting it, I'm becoming more disciplined, I'm going to be disciplined with all my activity. I want to praise you more, I want to read my salah on time, I want to do things, I want to dress appropriately, I will worship you and you alone. And I will only worship you the way taught by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mothers and sisters, until we meet again sometime, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.